wonderful. Thank you, Dan. So excited for the weekend away. Also, a little reminder over here, excited for Yorkshire Camps. Some of us going away to that. Lots of things to be excited for this year. Well, today we're sticking all together. So kids, youth and adults, we're all together today. And we're going to be carrying on our series on the Sermon on the Mount. So this term, we've been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And so let's remind ourselves where we are. So the Sermon on the Mount is found in a book of the Bible called Matthew. Matthew's right at the beginning of the New Testament. And Matthew starts his book by telling us all about Jesus being born. I think there'll be some pictures to show us. And then it tells us about how he was baptized. It tells us all about Jesus growing up, I guess, before he was baptized. He was baptized when he was growing up. Then Matthew tells us all about Jesus being tested in the wilderness. That's something we're remembering actually now in this period of Lent, isn't it? And we hear how Jesus started to heal the sick, to do other amazing things, and how he called some of his first disciples to come and follow him. But it wasn't just Jesus' disciples who were following him. Lots of other people had heard Jesus' teaching. They'd heard about the amazing things, or they'd seen the amazing things that Jesus had been doing. And so they started to follow Jesus too. And we read in Matthew 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." And so that's how we get to the Sermon on the Mount. And last time when we were here together as a family service, we looked at what Jesus said about being salt and light. And we've heard some of the other things that Jesus has taught. We've taught about what he said about being blessed, or about the Old Testament law. In fact, in Mo Kids, we looked at the story of the whole Bible during that week, didn't we? It was a big one, but we made it through. And we've looked at being angry or being jealous and wanting what other people have. We've thought about relationships. It teaches about marriage. And today we're going to be thinking about one of the next bits of the Sermon on the Mount, which is all about saying yes and no to things, making oaths and telling the truth. And so to start us off by thinking about saying yes or no, I've got some questions that will have yes or no answers. And I'd like you to write yes on one side of your whiteboard and no on the other side. And just to help me, I'd like you to draw a rectangle around your yes and an oval or a circle around your no. If you don't have a whiteboard, feel free to come and grab one from the front. Let's do that. Write it nice and big so I'll be able to see when you've written your answer. Yes on one side and no on the other. Okay, I'm going to start us with a nice, easy question. So yes or no, have you ever made a den? Yes or no, have you ever made a den? Let's have a look around the room. Lots of yeses. Lots of yeses. Is anyone a no? Wow, I think, is this maybe 100% yes? Wow, that's pretty impressive. Okay, how about, have you ever had breakfast food for your tea? I think it's a genius thing to do. Let's see, has anyone else done it with me? Yes. Catherine, you've never done it. What? You're missing out. Cereal at tea time is excellent. No, Jean, you've also never done it. You've not done it either, Sheila. Wow, okay. Or Bryony, guys, you're missing out. Breakfast or tea is amazing. Okay, how about, can you do a cartwheel? I cannot. Is anyone willing to prove it? Oh. Lydia, can you prove it? You said yes, come on. Can she do it? Hey! How about this side of the room? Robin, you've said you can do it. Sort yourself out. Oh, yeah, sorry. Pressure. No pressure. Yeah, you're good. Well done, Robin. I wish I had a prize for you, but I don't. But well done, Robin. I'm sorry. Okay, how about, do you like sushi? Oh, no. Okay, I think still mostly yeses. It's gross. It's disgusting. Okay, how about, can you whistle? Yes, Jonah. Can you whistle? No, lots of no's. Lots of yeses over here. Interesting, interesting. Okay, how about, would you eat a worm for 20 quid? Would you do it? For 40, not for 20. You said yes. Okay, some of you have said yes. Let's choose some of you to come and prove it. I'm joking. I don't have worms for you to eat. Okay, how about, have you ever pretended to be sick? when you've really not been. The truth's coming out. Parents, have a look around. Have your kids said that they pretended to be sick? A pre-split room. Lots of you have. Some of you haven't. Nice honesty. Okay, how about, can you roll your tongue? Can you roll your tongue? What was that? I can see lots of rolled tongues. Beautiful, nice. Okay, how about, have you ever driven over the speed limit? You personally, you have driven.
You have, in real life.
Okay, how about, can you play a musical instrument? I've had some people that here this morning playing their musical instruments. Who else can? Well, show me. Let's see. Okay, wow, quite a musical route. I guess, actually, you've said you can play it. Doesn't mean you can play it well, does it? But lots of you reckon that you can play a musical instrument. Okay, how about, have you ever tripped over in public? It's well embarrassing, isn't it? Have you ever done it? Yeah. I think most of us. Bryony, you're looking out. Well done. I mean, who knows? Any other? You have a yes. Nice. Okay. Okay, how about, have you ever cheated in a board game? I'm a yes. I have. Some looks of horror around the room as you're realizing your friend has maybe cheated in a game against you. Okay, how about, if you could eat dessert for every meal, would you? And maybe actually, if the dessert is the only thing you're allowed to eat, just nothing but dessert all the time. Well, you guys are pretty divided. There's lots of yeses, but also lots of noes. Interesting. Okay, two more questions. Have you ever woken up from a dream and believed, like really believed, that it was real? Okay, lots of you, pretty split again. I think more yeses. Okay, final question. Have you ever broken a pinky promise? Have you ever broken a pinky promise? Maybe you've never made a pinky promise, but have you ever broken one? Wow, lots of people not breaking a pinky promise. You know that a pinky promise is serious stuff. Some of you guys have broken a pinky promise. Oh, my days. Okay, whiteboards down. Thank you, guys. Well done. So, there are lots of things to say yes or no about it. We can use our yeses and nos to answer questions like these. But today, we're thinking about a passage that talks about saying yes or no. And it's thinking about making oaths, saying yes, I will do that, or no, I won't do that, I promise. And we're going to read a passage from Matthew 5. I wonder if one of the youth might volunteer to come and read it for us. And our passage talks about swearing an oath. Now, just clarify, sometimes swearing means saying bad words, doesn't it? But this doesn't mean that. This, when the Bible talks about swearing today, it talks about, it means making promises. So someone might make a promise by saying, I swear if I don't do something, then you can have my favorite toy. Or maybe you've heard people say, I swear on my family's life, or I swear on my nan's grave, or different things like that. If any of you guys have watched Traitors, you'll know that in season one, one of the guys swore on his whole family's life that he wasn't a traitor. And then he was. Terrible. Sorry, spoiler if no one's finished season one. But so that's what it's talking about when it talks about swearing. So we're going to read from Matthew 5, starting at verse 33. Young people, would any of you come and read it for me? Don't all volunteer. Jonah, yeah?
Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill the Lord, the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
Wow, even a bow. Wow. Thank you, Jonah. So let's think about this. Jesus is saying this to a group of people who have grown up as part of God's family. And that means that they've grown up knowing God's laws and those laws being the rules that they follow. And so they know God's special rules really, really well. Rules like put God first or don't worship other gods, don't murder, don't be jealous and want what others have, don't break an oath, don't break a promise. And so they know that it's really important to live for God. And so for them, that means it's really important to try and follow God's rules. And in verse 33, we see that Jesus starts by saying, you have heard that it was said. So clearly these people know, Jesus is speaking to a group of people that know this is what God has said. Don't break your oaths. Don't break your promises. And so he's speaking to a group of people who think they already know what the right thing to do is. But he says, you've heard that it was said. But then he says, now here's what I tell you. And so what is Jesus telling them? Well, I wonder if you guys have ever made a promise. And we use our words sometimes when we make a promise. And sometimes you add an extra bit to your promise to show the person that you really mean it. Okay, so it's like the level one thing to say is just like, I will do it. You're saying to someone, I will do that thing. And maybe you add a little bit on. You say, I will do it. I promise. Okay, but what could you add to show that you really mean it? I will do it. I pinky promise. Pinky promises are a real deal. They're very serious, aren't they? I will pinky promise to do that thing. But then what's a level up from that? It's the double pinky promise, okay? You say, I promise, I double pinky promise that I will do that thing with both of my pinkies promised. I will definitely, definitely do that thing. And then how do you level up a double pinky promise? I don't know if you guys have ever done it, but it's to have a double pinky promise with a padlock on. Your pinkies cannot come unlocked. They are padlocked down. You are definitely going to stick to these promises. And so I wonder what you think about these different levels of promises. Would you trust someone who made a low-level promise to you? Would you trust them if they made a slightly higher promise to you? Now, I've got a little activity for us to think about promises. I'm going to invite up Andrew Scopes, who is somewhere in the room. Where are you? There you are. Andrew is one of our kids leaders. He's been a kids leader for a very long time, which means that lots of our kids and youth know and love Andrew so, so much and only want good things for him. It is true, Jed. Okay, and so... I had Andrew. You ate some pancakes this week, didn't you? But Andrew didn't eat enough pancakes this week. He said to me, I really wish I could have some more pancakes. So I've got a bit of a pancake station set up here for Andrew. And we're going to blindfold Andrew. I'd like some volunteers who definitely only want to promise to make good things for Andrew to come up and make him a pancake. And then we're going to feed it to him. And obviously, Andrew trusts and loves all of you guys. That's why he serves in Mo Kids. You guys love and trust him. And you only want to promise to make good things for him. So Andrew, why don't you just come and sit on your chair here? Keep your headphones. So I'm just going to put you some music on as well so that you can't hear the amazing creations that are going to be made. What do you want to listen to? A bit of Taylor Swift? Yeah. Oh yeah, perfect. Great. I have a Fearless album. You are feeling fearless right now. There we go. Right, press play. Okay, so I need 4 volunteers who are going to promise to make Andrew something delicious. So let's see. I think we need to have a Scopes. So, well, Jonah, if you come up. But Joel, you can come and help feed it to your dad because that'll be quite fun, won't it? Anna, do you want to come? Reuben. Okay, and I need one more. Well, Nathaniel, that is some serious quiet sitting. You can come up and make something beautiful for Andrew. So much love in the group here. Okay, so is Andrew suitably tied up? He can't see, he can't hear. Now, if you can't see around the room, I've got some really nice, you know, the typical things. I've got the chocolate spread, there's some banana, there's the lemon and the sugar, all the things we talked about earlier. But I did happen to grab a couple of extra things from my cupboard as well. We've got the mystery chutneys. I've also got some baked beans. I've got some mushy peas, left over from some pie and peas. And the best one, do you want to hold that one up? Our favourite. What is it?
Sardines.
Some beautiful sardines. Now, obviously, these guys love Andrew so much. And wait, look at me, guys. Look at me. Do you promise to make Andrew something delicious? Yeah. Definitely something delicious. Okay, we've seen it all. They've promised to make him something delicious. Okay, you've got a minute. So hand out, get a pancake, and then off you go. We can maybe have some music on in the background while these guys are making their creations. If you want to shout out an ingredient they should add, then feel free to shout it out. Okay, Nathaniel, so far you've got some chocolate spreads on there. Let's have a look. Reuben, you've got banana. Nice. A lot of lemon. Okay, the sardines are coming out thick and fast here. Okay, we've got some nice toffee sauce. Okay, Jonah, what have you got on your one?
I got cold beans.
this, and I'm just putting some of this on.
Both of the mystery chutneys. This is going to be great. Wow, you guys are making such delicious treats for Andrew. Okay, let's give them a final countdown. 10, 9, 8. Okay, stop. Stop, stop, stop. Wow, what beautiful, beautiful creations. Right, Joel, step round to the back so everyone can see. Okay, so we've got 4 delicious pancakes, and these guys have promised to make something delicious for Andrew. Now, Esther and Joel, you're going to take it in turns to feed it to your dad. So, Joel, do you want to choose which one your dad's going to get first? Okay, right. Right, hello, Andrew. Welcome back to the real world. So keep your blindfold on, because obviously you trust these guys so much, you don't need to see what it is. They've made you some delicious treats. So just open wide, and Joel is going to feed you. Here you go. What's your review, Andrew?
Pretty poor, to be fair. But it feels like this one could be better warm, if I'm honest.
Okay, better warm. Okay, some improvements for next time. Very nice. Final bite of this one, yeah. Do you final bite? Come on. Nice. Okay, Esther, which one is it getting next? Oh, some of that one. Nice. Okay, open wide, Andrew. You need to eat quicker. Come on, hurry up.
No, but that's nice, that
very
one.
Oh, he likes that one. Very nice, very nice. Okay, Joel, which one is your dad going to eat next? Okay, hold it up, Joel, so everyone can just have a little look at quite the levels of how much stuff Nathaniel put on that one. Okay. Well, they promised to make it good for you, Andrew, so of course it's good, yeah.
Oh, this is all right, actually. A little bit of sugar.
A little bit?
Yeah, yeah. Quite sweet. But a crunch, but you can't really taste what the crunch is because of all the sugar.
Head back a bit, Andrew. Back a bit further. Beautiful, nice extra crunch. Okay, this one is the final one. Do you want to hold your creation up really high for everyone to see? I mean, yeah. Oh, actually, it might be quite soggy. Maybe, yeah. Beautiful. It's something delicious. He has promised he'll make you something so tasty. Right. I can't possibly tell you who's made it. Right, Esther. Okay, Joel, do you want to feed your dad this one? Get it. Just get like the whole. Yeah. Open wide, Andrew. Open wide.
Fish. Yeah. Boom.
Boom. Is it good?
Yeah, very nice.
So, Andrew. Wow. Oh, my days. Right, Andrew, well done. You have trusted these guys. Guys, these made an excellent promise. Go wash your hands. Thank you, Andrew.
Yes. Is anybody else?
No, you can eat. Wonderful. I bet Andrew is so glad that he trusted those guys. That was quite a lot of sardines. Fair bit of mystery chutney. Well done to Andrew. This is what you get when you volunteer to serve in kids. Wonderful. Okay, let's maybe get back to the Bible and what the Bible says about promises. So, well, actually, yeah, these guys, they made a promise, didn't they? They promised to make Andrew something tasty. And they maybe had different interpretations of what making him something tasty meant. I wonder if you would trust people who made promises to you. Now, for the people who are listening to Jesus, the top level promise, so we had our different levels of promises, didn't we? Their top level promise would be swearing something by God's name. Remember, this isn't swearing in terms of saying bad words, but it means making a promise. Like, with God as my witness, I will do this thing. And if it means you're making this promise, it means that you're really, really going to do it. You're not going to break it. Because if you do, then you'll be subject to God's judgment. And so basically, you really, really definitely mean you're going to do this if you swear it by God's name. But what if the people wanted to make a bit of a lesser type of promise? Then what would they do? How would they say, well, I mostly promise it, but I don't want to swear by God just in case I don't manage to do the thing. I know, I'll swear, it's a little bit less, I'll swear by heaven. That's still a serious promise, but swearing by heaven feels a little bit less than swearing by God. Oh, but what if that still feels really, really hard to keep that promise? I know, I'll swear by the earth. That's smaller, it feels a bit less down than the heavens. It's still a big promise, I'm still trying to say to the person I mean it, but it's a bit less than God and heaven. So if I don't do it, it doesn't matter so much. Or what if I'm still hoping to maybe not keep that promise? Well, I might promise on Jerusalem, God's special city. Or what about a real low-level promise? I'll just promise on myself, cross my heart and hope to die. I'm the judge if I don't keep the promise or not. And so I'll try my best to keep it. But if I don't, then it's okay. There won't be a big consequence. God's not judging me. It's just me. And so these might be the different levels of promise that people were making at the time. Different levels showing how much you mean it. Different levels of if it's okay to break the promise or not. And so a bit more flexibility if they mess up or if they don't manage to do the thing. But Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, is rejecting the idea that there's different levels of promises. He's saying, you might swear on heaven, but heaven is God's throne. And so it's still just like swearing on God. You might swear on the earth, but God made it. It's his footstool. And so it's still a God-level promise. You might swear on Jerusalem, but that's God's city. So that's still a God-level promise. And you might swear on yourself and hope that it's really okay to break that promise. But if you pulled out a strand of your hair now and held it in your hand, would you be able to change its colour? No. Only God can do that. Only God is powerful enough to do that. And so unfortunately for you, it's still a God-level promise. And so instead of having all of these different oaths and promises, Jesus is saying that really they're all the same. And if they're all the same, then there's no point in swearing them at all. Simply say yes or no and mean it. Don't try to make loopholes where you can wiggle out of your promise. Say yes and mean it, or say no and mean it. And verse 37 says, anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Trying to get out of a promise isn't a good thing. It's not honest, it's not fair, it's not God's way. Jesus is calling us to be truthful, to be honest, and to keep our promises. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Make sure there is nothing in what we say or promise that gives people reason to doubt us, to think that they're not sure if we're going to keep our promise or not. He's saying, let your words be strong, let your words be meaningful and truthful. And the more we do this, the more people will know that they can trust us and they can trust our words when we say what we mean and mean what we say. But this can be really hard in practice, right? Sometimes it's really hard to stick to our yeses and nos. Sometimes we say we'll do something and later wish that we hadn't. Or maybe we've promised that we'll feed Andrew something really nice, but the chance to be a bit cheeky and feed him something disgusting feels way more fun than the promise that we made to feed him something nice, and we really don't want to. Or maybe we say, I'll tidy my room later. I promise I'll do it later. Not now, but I'll do it later. And then later comes, and we'd still rather be doing something else. Or maybe we've said that we'll help a colleague with a piece of work, but suddenly it feels like we've got loads going on, and you're really regretting offering that help to them. Maybe you've chosen a yes or no thing for Lent. Maybe you've said, yes, I will do a kind thing every day. Or yes, I'll try and read my Bible more. No, I won't eat chocolate. No, I won't get angry at my brother or sister. Maybe you've promised to offer, promised to hang out with a friend, but then an offer of a better thing to do has come along and you found it really hard to stick with your original yes. Or maybe you said, I'll pray for you. Or I'll be there at 7. Or I'll get back to you. It can be really hard to stick to those things, can't it? To stick to our yeses and nos. But we want to be people who are honest, people of integrity who stick to our promises. We want to say what we mean and mean what we say, even when it's hard. And so what can we do? Well, we remind ourselves that we don't live our life alone, do we? We have the Holy Spirit as our helper. And that means a few different things. It means that we can chat to God when stuff is hard. We can tell him how we're feeling. We can tell him about the times that we're finding it really hard to stick to our yeses and our nos. And we know that he listens to us. We can ask for God's comfort if we have been the victim of somebody else's lies or we've been let down by somebody else's lack of keeping their promises. We can ask for comfort when we've been hurt by what other people have said. And we can also ask for his forgiveness when we mess up, can't we? Jesus forgives all of us for all the times that we've said that we're going to do something and we didn't or we haven't. For all the lies we've told and still might tell. Every time our words are not truthful, we know that what Jesus has done for us on the cross means that we can all be forgiven. Jesus died for all of us. And that means that we can come to him and say sorry. We repent for the lies and the mistakes, and we receive his grace and mercy. In Titus 2, it says this, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that his very own, eager to do what is good. Now that's a lot of words, but let's have a look. Verse 12, it says, it is grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. God's grace helps us. God's grace is for us. And then at the end, verse 14, God's grace helps us to be people who are eager to do what is good. Eager to listen to the teachings of Jesus and say, I want that. Jesus, please help me to stick to my oaths. Please help me to stick to my yeses and my noes. And so we ask God for his help. Ask God, God, please help me to say yes and mean it, or say no. Hebrews 6, verse 17 and 18 says this about God. God wanted to prove that his promise was true. He wanted to prove this to those who would get what was promised. He wanted them to understand clearly that his purposes never change. So God proved his promise by making an oath. These two things cannot change. God cannot lie when he makes a promise, and he cannot lie when he makes an oath. These things encourage us who come to God for safety. They give us strength to hold on to the hope that we have been given. So God cannot lie when he makes a promise or an oath. God says yes, and he means it. And he says no, and he means it. And his words are strong. His words are meaningful and truthful. And so if God is all of those things, then with him as our helper, we can ask him to help us be those things too. To say what we mean and mean what we say. So with Holy Spirit as our helper, we chat to God and tell him about when it's hard, when it's really tricky to stick to our yeses and noes and to keep telling the truth. We can ask him for comfort when we've been let down by others. We can ask for his forgiveness when we're the ones who have messed up, and we receive his grace. And then we ask him to help us as we continue on the journey, mean what we say and say what we mean. And so we're going to spend some time now in worship to Jesus, asking him to continue to help us to be those things. And maybe as we worship, you might just be aware of some things in your life where you've maybe said yeses or noes and not stuck to them. Or maybe you just find that you're stuck in like patterns of lying. And sometimes we like lie a little bit, don't we? And then we have to lie a bit more to keep up the lie. And then we find ourselves having to lie a little bit more and keep up that lie. And it can be really easy to accidentally fall into that. But we want to ask God, God, help me. And so it might be as we start worshiping, you just bring those things before God. Just have a little moment chatting with God. Tell him those things. Say sorry for the times when you haven't stuck to your yeses and your noes. And receive his grace as we worship together. And so Dave and the band are going to lead us.